In this morning's text, I'm going to start out with the text and give a little bit of an explanation and then move into what I want to have to say. So Jesus went into the village near a Greek village, Caesarea Philippi. It was a place where a lot of temples were built, the Greek temples, and they had a worship to a lot of different gods. And there he asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And as far as I'm concerned, I believe that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. I don't have any issue with that, although there's a lot of variation in the early church as to who Jesus was, if he was totally human, totally a spirit, various different ideas. They're still alive even today. But in my reality, I don't have any problem with saying that Jesus is Son of the Most High God. I'm going to start off, and I'm going to approach this and ramp up an idea. So I'm going to start off, and then I'm going to back up to start up. I'm going to introduce several different ideas and several different approaches, and then I'm going to kind of sum up. This week, in our Congress, mostly the House, 127 women were sworn into Congress. And in this group was the first Muslim American a woman, a Palestinian American woman, and a Native American woman. And already, all these were the first, the way I understand, but there's already African American women and white women in Congress. So diversity has increased in this 116th Congress quite a bit. To me, I see this kind of changing, the power structure of this country changing somewhat, or adding diversity into it. I kind of see the power structure as being rather not a pyramid so much anymore, but we're trying to create a level playing field so that there's equality for everyone that's here. We are, as far as I'm concerned, a gigantic experiment on how we can get along in this world. We are a part of an experiment, I think a divine experiment. I don't have any problem with that idea. On equality, I think equality is something that I see is a Jesus idea. And I'm going to further that idea as we go along. One of the definitions that I looked up as far as equality, of someone, a professor gave this one. Equality is about looking outside or outside your experiences and imagining that you are insignificant and that those around you are always worth having a voice or listening to the voice. Sociologists, as I looked up the idea of the origin of equality or equity or equality, and they don't really know the origin evolution or the evolutionary idea of where equality started from. Again, I see it as a Jesus idea, which I'll get to. I see through the evolutionary process, I am listening to a course on biological anthropology. I'm about halfway through it, but nowhere in there is the idea that through the evolutionary process that we are going to end up with equality. So the origins of equality is unknown. You can look it up, and it's, yes, throughout time, people have introduced it, but for me, equality is something much more than something within a particular tribe or a particular nation. Equality is what I'm talking about, is equality of nations, sexes, races, and what have you. It's up at a higher level than just in your own tribe. The way I see the evolutionary process is it ends up being male tribalism. We have males at the top and everything else down at the bottom. Or it's in a pyramid effect. Even in much of our religions and our faith, it's still a male-oriented world in which we live in. And so this week, as more women are getting involved and the shape of Congress and our government is starting to change, I am very curious to look towards the future and see what it's going to look like. What is this going to look like? How is this going to work out? What is the difference that all these different inputs of various different ethnic groups along with male and female. How is this all going to play out in the end in equality? Again, I see it as a Jesus thing, a field. Jesus represented a field a lot more times than not. He used that in his parable, a level playing field. And that's where I like that phrase. We are trying to incorporate slowly equality into our system of thought. It's a slow process. We don't want to give. Everybody wants to push it up, be up at the top. And I feel that it has to be learned. You're not going to, I don't think that you're going to wake up or you're going to be realize it one day that you're inherently have the idea of equality. You have to kind of learn that, I think, and as you go along in life. Yes, some people understand it more and others don't. I'm going to back up again now. This week I delivered a pallet of bee font. That's like food for the bees in the wintertime. It's like a little it's corn syrup and sugar, and they make it in little patties, and they put it on top of the hives to feed them. And I took it to a pastor friend, a disciples pastor friend of mine that has been retired out in western Pennsylvania, and he got into bees. He has several hives of bees, and I picked it up in Lewisburg and hauled it out for him. And I knew bees for some time had a problem with mites. They little mites would get in the hives and they would destroy the hives, and they had a great problem. I knew Dave Hackenberg, who was in Lewisburg, who was involved in the bee industry for many, many, many years. And I knew him and understood that mites were a great problem. And I learned several things. One, that almond trees have to have honeybees in order to pollinate them. I didn't realize that. They must have honeybees. So if the honeybees die off, you're not going to get any almonds because they won't pollinate. And what Dave Hackenberg does is he moves his bees from all over the country, all over from California to Florida, and he uses them for pollinating. He has truckloads of them. So he's into it big time. And several years ago, a bunch of our friends got together and we had dinner, and he was telling us about the mite problem. Little mites that would get in. So I learned that biologists have created a queen bee. They have genetically altered a queen bee and to bite off the legs of the mites. And they're called ankle biters. You can look it up on Google it, and you can actually see a video where the queen bee bites off the legs of the mites. And they're called ankle biters. And so they've been genetically changed, these are the queen bees, to when a mite comes in the hive, that queen bee attacks the mite and bites off the legs of the ankles of the legs of the mite. So they have changed the genetic makeup. And so if I would imagine 1,000 years from now, anthropologists would look back and they would, maybe if they didn't have the information, may look at this as a mutation in the bees. So eventually the hope is that the bees will take on this trait and they will bite the legs off of, learn it from the queen bee, and eventually they will, all will learn to bite off the legs of the ankles of the mites. What is going to be the outcome of all this? We don't know. No one knows. But because usually when man plays with something, it doesn't always come out the best. There's always some side effect. So it may be looked back upon as a time in which there was a great mutation. If, in my imagining, bees had language and they had a history in which they accumulated, similar to mankind, they may look back at a time, at this time in which the gods interfered with the bees' lives and created and saved them from extinction. Now I'm going to go back again, start over. Over the holidays, I listened to the History Channel and I watched The Last Days of Hitler. And one of the things that I saw in there was Richard Wagner's Twilight of the Gods. At the end, several weeks before Hitler's demise, they had a great concert in Berlin, and it showed a picture of them, this huge hall in which they Wagner performed the his opera or his orchestra or whatever. I'm not quite sure what the quite term of it is, but it was called The Twilight of the Gods or The End of the Gods. There's different names for it. I actually listened to it. I YouTubed it and listened to it. It's quite a masterpiece of an orchestra. And for some reason, I could not get that picture out of my mind. Here is the near destruction of Germany, and all these German people went into this great hall and listened to this concert. And it's a story about the Norsemen gods. And the destruction, according to their legend, that sometime in the future, the gods of the Norsemen are going to be destroyed, and there's going to be another heaven, another earth, and new gods will come in, and there will be peace and love. It's about a change, a dramatic change. So what does this all have to do with Jesus, you might say? Well, I believe Jesus is kind of like the scientists who manipulated genetically the bees. I think Jesus came to this earth to enhance us to a higher level. If you look at the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as chapters, and if you read them, and if you try to live them, you are going to be a different person. You're not going to be a tribal person. You're going to start begin to see things in a different way. And that's what the Jesus life is about. I kind of refrain from trying to use a Christian life because I don't think Jesus really had in mind in starting another competing religion. I think he was wanted to enhance the world in a way and lift them up in a different way. And so I see that as the beginning of equality. There's where I see equality of nations, of races, and groups of people is foundation. It's a brand new idea. If you go back and you study history, the way I understand, there was not the idea. Occasionally, the idea popped up here and there along the way in previous history, Egypt and whatnot. But the idea of a universal love and a universal God that loved all of humanity was not brought up until Jesus came and walked on this earth. I have no problem seeing Jesus as the Son of God. I believe that there's a heaven, there's another place, there's another reality, there's a better place somewhere in which life exists. I believe in angels. I believe in a hierarchy of gods. The Bible supports all this. I've talked about this before. And so the idea of the twilight of the gods fit right into my theology, in which I think Jesus, if you read Daniel 7, foretells a time in which the gods of this earth will be silenced and not be no more. And Jesus is supposed to have all things put under him, and he's supposed to be the King of Kings. We sing that in Christmas and various different times. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When you start reading and putting all this stuff together, maybe I have flaws here and there along the way. I'm generally speaking in a lot of different ways. I have no reason to think that Jesus did not come here, inhabit a human body, and walk on this earth to lift us up, to teach us something different than what a tribal, male-oriented world would be. He tries to change us, to inject into us something more. I would certainly be interested in what anybody have to think along the way here. It was equality on a global scale. I think our nation, for all its flaws that it has and all the good things that it has, is supposed to be an example to the world. And I can understand why people say we are the new Israel, we are this. I can understand that. But I think in some ways we are enhancing the world in a better place, and sometimes we have problems too. We live in a dualistic world and a dualistic reality. But I think we still are a good country and we are trying. That's all I can say. If you look at the political arena today, you look at we're so polarized and so divided. I don't think Jesus had that in mind at all. I just don't think that we're going to end up in a good place if we keep going in this direction. All of us, I think, in some respect, have to work together and not be divided. So for me, Jesus took the law, or a lot of what we consider to be the law. If I could, I thought I had it marked. Yes. You know, he warned us about, you know, looking down on others. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to forgive our debtors. We are to love each one equally. For some reason, I haven't found the spot what I'm looking for. What did I say? Matthew 5. Okay, no wonder. I marked the wrong place. The Sermon on the Mount. You're not to worry. You're supposed to look at money and wealth in a different way. You're not supposed to judge other people. We're considered to be equal. In other words, I have things wrong with me. You have things wrong with me. There's supposed to be an equality. These are the foundations in which I think equality is based on. We're supposed to seek not and ask and look for knowledge. We are, there's a way to heaven. There's a way, but it seems to be kind of narrow in our mind. We're not necessarily focused on it. So broad is the way that leads to destruction. Things aren't always what they appear to be, the fruits of people's lives. We're supposed to have a different foundation in which we build things on. And on it goes in the Sermon on the Mount. And again, if you can read that and start applying that in a way in which Jesus saw it, then I think you'll understand and you will hopefully come to the conclusion that Jesus is a Son of the living God. Now, I know there's people in here, or I'm assuming, who think and see Jesus as different. They say Jesus was human, and he just had good ideas, and he lifted them up. I'm not going to sit here and debate whether or not Jesus was in his human form. I think it's a futile effort for me to try to convince you one way or the other. I don't think that is really that important myself. Whether you see him as a total human, totally divine, a ghost, a spirit, or any of the above. I think it's more about what Jesus taught. That's what we should be concerned about. All that stuff that happened in the early church and it continues on today, none of them agreed as to what Jesus was. They didn't. The first 300 years, everyone thought something was different. They thought he was anything but that. So for me, in this message, to stand up here and try to convince you, again, I'm not going to do it. You have to decide for yourself what Jesus was. And again, I think, as I close this message, it's what Jesus taught and what Jesus does to your heart, and how you express that out, and how you see it in a global idea. Because Jesus was about global ideas, as far as I'm concerned, not just starting another religion. Jesus was about putting to death in the human heart the war gods. I think Richard Wagner had a very good idea. What I read about him was there's a lot of different ideas about what he thought at the time, and there's no real consensus. But I think even as the scientists enhanced the bees, Jesus also enhances us. So I'm going to close by saying this. Who do you say Jesus is? For me, I'm going to say he's the Son of the living God. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the the offering that was received. Bless it, that it may be used to benefit your kingdom. We pray for your direction and guidance for its use. Thank you that we are good stewards over your finances. In Jesus' name, amen.